Well, let's get into the Word today. That's the most important thing. Amen? And we want to get into the Word and let God speak to us today. Let God challenge us. Let God mature us. Let God lead us to a place that He needs us to be. And let God just have His way in our lives. And so I'm going to go through a couple scriptures today. So I'm not going to tell you to turn where, because we are basically going through this book. Jim Cimbala's, Pastor Jim Cimbala, he's the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. A man who is whose ministry is grounded in prayer, constant prayer, and through prayer has seen his church change, has written so many different books. This is probably the fifth or sixth book that we've read of his in the summer, because it is about prayer and because about the move of the Holy Spirit in the church. And so if you're from our church, you can have one of these for free. If you're visiting with us and you think you're going to come back, we'll give you one too. Or maybe you're not going to come back, but you'd like to read a good book that'll really lead you into the things of God. We'll give you one of those as well. If you are a family, a spouse who likes to mark in your book, but your spouse doesn't like that, and you need your own book, I think they're $12. They are $12. Let me say that. We're not making anything on them. That's what we paid for them with shipping. So you can buy an extra one as well. So you can get them at the office today on your way out. So strong through the storm. Let's pray. Father, I'm privileged today to be able to share your word with these loving people, with these great people. God, this message has really touched my heart this week, God. And so I really believe that you're going to touch our hearts. I believe that this book is right on time. I'm not going to speak from the book today. I'm going to speak from your word today, God. It's your word that we need to hear, not Pastor Jim Cimbala's, but I love the way that you use this servant to remind the church what your word says. And so, God, I pray that we would calm ourselves and calm our spirits. I pray, God, that we would put away the disruptances in our lives right now, our phones, tablets, whatever. God, if we don't need them, if we're using them for our Bible, fine. But if we don't need them, God, that we would just put them away right now, God, and just focus on what you want to speak to us. I believe that as I'm speaking, your Holy Spirit is going to speak to every life. He may say different things to each and every one of us, but he's going to bring us to a place of reaction to what he's speaking to us. And it's going to change our lives. It's going to change our church. It's going to change our community, God. And so I'm thankful for this moment in your word. I'm thankful for this moment in time that we get to spend in your presence. And I ask for your anointing to be upon this frail flesh. And I ask God to hide me behind your cross. And I ask God that you would speak so clearly and loudly into our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this summer we're talking about being strong through the storm. And in my last message, which was 2 weeks ago, I spoke from one phrase from the book from chapter one. And it was this phrase: had they understood what was coming, they would have chosen differently. Pastor Jim Cimbala was talking about not Storm Sandy, but a storm back in the early 1900s, where people were told to leave. And we see this in America all the time. People are told to leave, get to safety, and they decide, no, we're gonna stay it out. And many of them were killed. And he said this: had they understood what was coming, they would have chosen differently. And I likened that in that message to the church and the darkness that is coming against the church, especially in America. And sadly, even invading the church today in America. And I said that the church should be that force that's eliciting change in the world. Rather than that, what's happening is the world is causing us to compromise our ways with them, to associate with them and to tell us what we can say and what we can't say, to tell us what we can believe and what we can't believe. And they'll use terms such as racism and all kinds of other terms that go along with that, politically incorrect. And you know the terms. I can't even think right now because it's not part of my message today to go there. But just that we are being judged all the time by the world rather than us stepping up and saying, this is what God says. And no matter what the world says, this is what God says. And because God says it, that settles it. And that's the way I need to live my life. We looked at the poll from Barna last week, where 46%, excuse me, where 46%, almost half of the people who go to church said that their lives had not changed from going to church. Listen to that. Half of the people that sit in church pews each and every week are saying, but my life has not changed. Nothing has happened. I pray that that is not the number in our church. But I pray that as you leave this place today, that there would be something of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that would affect your life from the preaching of the word. Because the Bible says that his word will not return void. And it's not that we want to thump you over the head. And it's not that we want to make you feel guilty and shameful. But what we want you to do is go out of this place saying, man, God spoke today. It encouraged my heart today. It built me up today. Yes, I need to change that about my life. And I need to make that different. But praise God, I'm on a new path because of the word that God spoke into my heart. That's what should be happening in churches. My point that week was that if we truly understand, church, what is at work against us, then we would have chosen differently, and the choice would have been that we would have made Christ the center of our attention. I do not know. I think I'm a little behind because of spending the mornings at the ministry house and out in ponds and doing cutting lawns. I think that I probably have not gotten to the website last week, so this message may not be on the website yet. But I will try to tonight during OSL get these messages up on the website. OSL, we have class tonight at 5:30. Don't forget that. And OSL students, I'm sorry. The series is Strong Through the Storm. I got to give this because they have to take notes today. The series is Strong Through the Storm. And the message title today is The Church That God Built. The Church That God Built. And so my point in 2 weeks ago is that if we understand today what's truly coming against the church, then we would make a difference. We would make a different choice to make Jesus the center of our attention. The world is looking for answers to their problems. Amen. But they can't turn to the church because guess what? The church don't have the answers to their problems. We have people sitting in pews that don't even know what they believe. They've heard all kinds of things. Well, there's 100 different ways to God. Well, that's a lie. There's only one way to God. It's Jesus. Well, you know, you can't take the Bible literally, Pastor. Well, you know, if God said it, God meant it, what's going to change it? The world doesn't change it. And so, but we have people in pews today in churches all over this nation questioning. I told you many times about 10 years ago, time flies. It might even be longer than that. I'm watching the 11 o'clock news, Channel 6 News. So this is the news for our area. It's happening in Philadelphia 10 or so years ago. Three or four pastors, they gray out their face, and these pastors stand there and are telling the news person who's doing this article that they don't even believe the things they're preaching, and the only reason why they're still preaching is because that's how they make their money, and that's the only way they know to make a living. So I got to say, if there's four of them, that's a greater measurement of people, pastors, male, female, whatever you believe, whoever you follow, that are standing in pulpits today not believing what they preach. I want you to know today, I believe it all from cover to cover. There's nothing that I would say we have to take out. There's nothing I would say that we have to add in. It's a done deal. And I believe it from cover to cover, and I preach it cover to cover. That means sometimes it's not very encouraging messages. Sometimes God steps on our toes. But in the midst of that, the encouragement is we walk out of this place as different people. Amen? Amen. And so the world's looking for answers to their problems. They want to turn to the church because the church is supposed to be the answer, but we're trying to find the answers to ours. And I said last week that we've been too busy playing games with God. Remember the shell game I brought out where I hid the wire nut under the cup and moved it around. But Jesus is very clear, and this was our verse. Jesus is very clear to say that a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And my thought of that whole message was this, church. If the light of Jesus Christ is truly shining in our lives, if the light, if the fire of the Holy Spirit is truly burning in our hearts, if that's what we say, then I want to tell you, you can't possibly go to work and hide it. You can't possibly not, your neighbors can possibly not see it. Can't, you know, two double negatives, right? Two double negatives make it a positive. So you know what I'm trying to say. It's going to have to show. I won't go there. We just had a tragedy in our neighborhood, but you know, I'm not going to go there. And I don't think that Kim and I really were the light, though we tried to be in some ways. We really, I felt both of my neighbors were killed. Both of my neighbors were shot in the head in Philadelphia a couple weeks ago. Young couple. They've lived there probably a year and a half. Kim and I had a lot of conversations over the fence with them. We don't know their lifestyles. I can't judge that. But in an instant, they're both gone. And now people, family members, are coming in to clean out a house. And a young man, his mother's gone. And now he's got to move in with grandparents. And I sat in my backyard. Because I've always shared with you what I want to do in my neighborhood and why I never get it done. And I just thought, God, were Kim and I, couldn't we have been more lights? Couldn't we have made a difference? Couldn't we have said more and done more than what we did? See, we just got to stop playing games. A city on a hill can't be hid. If there's really truly light in us, then they weren't shot at their house. So Collins Lakes is still a safe place. It was in Philadelphia. But anyway, it's alarming. So the church should not be hidden. We should not be able to hide our light. And the sad thing, church, is we have been hiding our lights. Maybe we've even lost our light. And I think this is what this series is all about this summer. I think this is what Pastor Jim Cymbal is trying to get us to see. That the church needs to get its light back. That the church needs to get its fire back. And that we need to burn. And burning symbolizes a burning away of our flesh, of our own ideas, of our own plans, of our own wants. And it symbolizes God taking over. And I just think, and I want to be a church, part of the church, that allows God to take over, where the fire is burning and where things are happening. We have a large majority of the church, and I say this every week, and I think it's being read into that I'm discouraged, but I'll talk about that in a second. We have a large majority of the Christians, and not just our church, who aren't going back to church after COVID. And if they are, it's taken them much too long to do it. If you waited a year to come back to church, it's way too long. Something was happening in the churches. God was speaking. The places we needed to be. You know, when 9-1-1 hit, I'll never forget how crowded the churches were for the next month, but how quickly that dissolved. And I get it. We have lives and we've got busy things happening, but we need to get back to church. We need to get back to gathering. But this was happening before COVID hit. It was just that COVID gave us an excuse to do it. We said last week that so many people who go to church just don't value God's word. And then I asked all of you, 2 weeks ago it was, to take time in a personal reflection that week. And I'm not going to ask you if you did it. And to begin to pray and to ask God where you fit into his plan for this church that's on fire. Where you fit into this plan for this church. Not just this church, but the church of Christ in America that is going to gather up. That is going to find their light again. That is going to allow the fire to burn. How do you fit into that? And I close that message with these words. Will we be a church and a people who know the power of God and exhibit it wherever we do life? Or will we be that people who just want our ears tickled, be comfortable, and just have a nice place to gather? So let me pick it up and let's go into the message this week. I have a sense that there may be some in the church who don't want to meet with the Lord. I have a sense that there are some people who think the church should just be a nice place to gather. But I also think that there are people who understand that church should be a place where people gather in the presence of God, where they meet with God. And I have a sense that there are some in the church who don't want that to happen because they're afraid. They feel like the Israelites felt when they came before Mount Sinai. You know the story. It's over in Exodus 19. In Exodus 19, the people are headed to the promised land. And to get them ready, God is going to meet with them. Now, before this, Moses was the go-between, right? Moses met with God. Moses came back and gave them the law. Moses met with God. Moses said this to them. Moses said that. God says this. God says this. And now God says, Moses, clean the people up. Tell them to wash their clothes. Tell them to throw out their idols. Tell them to clean the grounds around their tents. Tell them to, and he gives them other things to do. I mean, even in the marital relationship, they weren't allowed to have a relationship for a while because God wanted them to be clean before him. And so he gives them these things that they need to do to get their lives right with God. And he tells Moses, prepare the people to meet me and bring them to the mountain because I want to speak to them there. He says, tell them to do certain things to prepare their hearts to hear my voice. But we know that as it draws closer, the people are afraid. And what do they tell Moses? They tell Moses, no, Moses, we're not going to go. You go. You be our voice. You tell us what God wants to say. You tell us the commandments of God. You bring it all to us. Tell us what God said. And God says, from this point, Moses, you will be my mouthpiece. They will miss the blessing of being in my presence. And I bring that story up because I sense that hesitancy in the church today. Now, we're a Pentecostal church. You could be Baptist, you could be Presbyterian, you could be Catholic, you could be whatever you want to be. That's fine with me. But no matter what you believe, we still need a stirring of the Holy Spirit in our church. We still need God to do something. So maybe you don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit the way we do. We don't flaunt it. You didn't see craziness taking place in our church today as a Pentecostal church. And we're very balanced in what we do. But there are things that we believe that God wants to do in the church today and that God's going to do in the church today. But there's this hesitancy in many people in the church today. We took a whole year, was it last year or the year before? They all run together for me. We took a whole year to look at the theme, the table of the Lord, right? Jesus inviting us to his table. And that invitation that he gives to us to come and commune with him. This was the invitation that he gave Israel. He wanted to be their God. He wanted them to be his people. He wanted them to see his power in all of his glory. They never did because they were afraid. And they gave that up to let Moses do it. And yet it still remains, even though we preached that all year, there still remains a very small segment of the church that seeks those moments with God. And I pray that it's a larger segment that does seek those moments with God than I even know. And that would bless my heart. But I just wonder, God, what is it even in our church, amount of people who really seek time with you, who really spend time with you, who really get away with you, God? Were these people afraid to meet God? I'm sure they were. I'm sure when you see a mountain on fire and you hear thunders and lightnings like what was going on, listen, I'm telling you, there's a little respect there, amen? And I think what God, what was his name, Tenney? Anybody remember his name? Not Thomas Tenney. He was a speaker, traveled in the churches, wrote a book about it. Something Tenney, years ago, about 7 years ago, maybe longer. Again, time flies. How am I 56 already, right? How are you the age you are already? It doesn't seem possible. But Tenney, I can't remember his first name. But anyway, he was speaking in a church. And lightning came down in the church and split the pulpit in half as he was speaking. And God did something in that church. And it was a Holy Spirit revival that moved in that place. And for you know, whatever amount of time, he was there and oversaw that revival that took place in that church. Now, I don't need God to split my pulpit. If he needs to do that to get my attention, then so be it. But I do want the rumbling of the Holy Spirit to move in our services. I want our times of singing to be more than just words on a screen. I want them to be times when we do fall to our knees. When we do lay prostrate on the floor. Never get it right. Always talk about the male organ usually. So prostrate, posturate, whatever. You know what I'm saying. Face first on the ground. And so God has never gifted me with eloquency, right? It's just get the message out, Pastor. Share it like you share it and people will understand. So, but I would just love times when maybe we just forego the rest of the service just to spend time in God's presence. Now, I'll never manipulate those times. And those times have happened here from time to time. But I'd love to see more of that, not because I want to get out of speaking the word, but because I think God wants to work in our lives in such a powerful way. My friend Anthony, the reason why he's here today, he's been here a year now in our church. Isn't that powerful? July 4th last year was when he came to our church. He's here. But you know why he's here? He's here not because I'm his friend. He'd probably like not to be here because I'm his friend. But he's here because when we were kids, Tony was touched by the visible power of the Holy Spirit in this church. It is something that no matter where he's been, with God or without God, he's never forgotten. And we talk about quite a bit. And he wants to experience that in his life again. So he's here hungry to see that happen. And as kids, it just became a normal thing in our services, just to be touched by the power of God and to know that you were touched. That's how I got called into ministry. But see, I can rant and go on and on, and I need to move on because I'm timed here. I want to get this word out to you today. Were they afraid? Yes, they were. Were there some miscommunications? Maybe. I'm sure there was. First, God says, set up a barrier, right? Moses, set up a barrier. Don't let the people come. And then he says, Moses, bring the people to the mountain. And then God says, set up a barrier again because of their fear and because of their lack of faith. This was truly God. It's not a lack of communication from God. It was a lack of communication on their parts. What God was trying to show them by setting up the barrier was that there needed to be a reverence before we came to God. And then what God was trying to say to them by removing the barrier and inviting them to the mountain was, guess what? Now that you've prepared your heart, you can come into the presence of God. He was trying to give them a picture of what Jesus would do on the cross for every one of us. We know that when Jesus died, on the day that Jesus took his last breath, that the veil in the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom. Top to the bottom is important. No man could reach the top. Man could reach the bottom and rip it. So it had to be ripped from the top to the bottom. What did the veil do? It separated man from being able to go into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. And so the veil is now torn when Jesus dies, representing that we don't need a high priest. You don't need a pastor to go. You don't need a priest to go before you. You don't need a minister or a prayer evangelist to go in before you. You have full access into the presence of God today. This is what God was doing. Moses set up a barrier, let them know that this is a place that they should not be. Moses, tear down the barrier, because I'm inviting them into the place that they should not be. I'm making it possible for them to come into my presence. Oh, Moses, they've got fear. They don't want to enter in. So set the barrier up again. You come up and see me. They will not be able to enter into my presence. Over in Deuteronomy 5, we see Moses gives a better explanation of what had really happened. Deuteronomy 5, verses 4 and 5. The Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up to the mountain, he said. Get this. Moses says, here's why you didn't go. You want to know why they didn't go? They were afraid of the fire. Why were they afraid of the fire? Because they recognized that they were sinful people. And I think there are people sitting in pews today that are afraid of the presence of God, that are afraid to ask God to give them more, that are afraid to allow God to enter into their lives in a greater dimension because they're afraid, they know they have sin in their life. And there is this thing that the fire of God cannot take the sin of man. Guess which one's going to lose? And so if God came into contact with sinful man would die. But again, we have the cross. Again, we have the grace. Again, we have the mercy of God that says now the holy presence of God can be above upon man, because man can be forgiven of their sin and made and have a Savior and know that Savior and walk with him. And so we see that there was a big problem for Israel coming before God. It was their recognition of their own sin. They read and if we read the verses before this, you'll see that they were all cleaned up. They washed their clothes. They took care of their tents. They did everything they did. Moses had given them this big list. And the scriptures tell us they did them. But their outward cleanliness could not affect their inward brokenness and sin. They looked at the mountain that's on fire. They looked at the mountain and lightning is just striking. They looked at the mountain, they heard the cracks of thunder louder than the storms that we hear. And they're afraid to go any closer. And we see in just a few more chapters that Moses and God both acknowledge that the fear and the distancing of the people was the right thing to do, because of the fear and their sinfulness, they would have been devoured by the holiness of God. I think from my experience, I'm getting somewhere with this. I think from my experience with a lot of people lately, not even the 30-something years of being a pastor here, but being just people lately, that this is where many in the church are at today. But I also want you to know that that fear is unfounded today. That fear of being in God's presence, that fear of asking God to move in our lives, that fear of asking the Holy Spirit to have his way in our services, it's unfounded today, because we have a high priest and his name is Jesus Christ. And he died for our sin, not just to clean the outside, but to cleanse thoroughly the inside. And then he rose again so that we could know eternal life. And Paul says that we now have a way, that we now have a path through what Christ did into the very presence of the living God. My brother and sister, I said all of that to say this. If the enemy has been raking you over the coals about your sin, if the enemy has been bringing doubt and fear because he's reminding you of what you used to be and the things that you're still involved in, and he's just raking you over these coals, and I want to, and he's keeping you from the throne room of God, and he's keeping you from the full power of God's presence, know today that on the cross that was dealt with, and you don't have to fear it anymore. That it was dealt with. You have a way and you have a right through Jesus Christ, not of yourself to come and enter in, but of the mercy and grace of God and the righteousness of Jesus to enter into his presence and to commune with him. Can you say amen? That might even be a great place for a clap, Pablo. Praise God. Amen. And not only today, because Pastor just told you, but all the time. When you're not feeling like it, go to the presence of God. When things are great, go to the presence of God. When you have a doubt, go to the presence of God. When the doctor calls, go to the presence of God. When the lawyer calls, go to the presence of God. When the spouse calls, when the children call, when the grandchildren are sick, go to the presence of God. When you're out on the beach, go to the presence of God. When you're at work, go to the presence of God. All the time. James 4:8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Wait, Pastor, you just said that Jesus did this. I don't have to do it. Why is He saying, cleanse your hands and purify your hearts? Well, how do we do that? We can't cleanse our hands. You can wash your hands for 20 seconds, like we've been told to do. You can wash your hands for 20 minutes. You can wash your hands for 20 days, and there are still things in your life that you will never get rid of. So what does He mean, cleanse your hands? He means we accept what Jesus did, and we turn from our sin. Repent. Somebody just asked me the other day, what's the difference between repentance and, can't remember what the other term was. And I said, one means you just confess it. Repentance is a 180-degree turn from it, and you walk the other way. So, it's not enough just to confess means you got caught, right? When my sons got caught, they had to confess. All right, Dad, I did it. Doesn't always mean they were sorry for it. It just means they were sorry they got caught. Same with my parents when they caught me. Mom, I'm sorry. Dad, I'm sorry, right? Ah, oh, shucks, I got caught. Doggone it all, I should have been better at that. I'll never forget, me and Anthony did something really bad. Really, really bad. It was a federal offense. Pastor Rick, we blew up a mailbox when we were kids. I'm so sorry. Blow up this mailbox. We come running around the house. Here's my mom outside. My mom's never outside at 9 o'clock at night. Here she is. Where were you guys? I was with Anthony. I just ratted on you. I'm so sorry. People should not know that about you. But you know what I'm saying? You know, I got caught. Was I sorry for what I did? Probably not. I thought it was pretty cool to see that M80 just splinter that thing. But it wasn't. Young people, if you're watching me, not a good thing to do. Very crazy, very stupid, very illegal, very, I don't know. Don't do it, all right? I was not a pastor at the time. I probably wasn't even following Jesus at the time, or I probably wouldn't have done it. I don't know. But I'll tell you, I said I was a Christian at the time. I was going somewhere with that. Oh, cleanse your hands means to do what you can to turn to Christ. To allow Him to have His work, to allow turn from our sin so that the power of the Holy Spirit can cleanse us with the blood of Jesus. Cleanse your hands. And then purify your hearts. You know what that means? That means get into the Word. This is what purifies our hearts. I have no way to, and I'm not talking about the beep, 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 beep that's beeping in your chest, that muscle. The heart is the inner you. The heart is the center of your being. It's where you were created to be like God. And so God does that. God cleanses our hearts. He purifies our hearts through His Word and through committing our life to follow His Word. And then allow the Holy Spirit to work in us the full transformation of His salvation. Is that good? Come on, that's good stuff, man. That'll affect your life. That'll change you. All right, so as I read chapter 2 this week, there were two thoughts that came to mind. I'm not speaking from the book. I don't speak from the book. I speak from God's Word. But there were two thoughts that came from mind. I'm not even sure if they were in the chapter. I'm not even sure that Pastor Jim mentioned them in these words. But this is what the Lord brought to my heart. Number one, there is nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new under the sun. The chapter, if you read it, was about the churches and what they're doing and how they're changing their stages and how they're coloring their churches. And it's a different paint that you have to use to bring in the young people. And and I struggle with this all the time because I know that you need to upgrade, but I also know that I'm not going to do things in my building just to capture attention and bring people in. The Holy Spirit has to do that. Yes, we're getting chairs. It's time the pews go because we can move this building around a little bit with chairs. We can have more intimate services with chairs than we can with pews because we can put them in a circle if we want to have a praise and worship night, right? We can move our chairs into little prayer groups if we want to have a prayer meeting during a Sunday morning. Imagine that, where we just break and say, guys, let's go into 15 minutes of prayer. Here's what we're praying for today. Now get in small groups and you just move your chair into a circle. Can't do that with pews. And so it's not that I want to attract people. Yes, we want to attract people, but I'm not going to just change everything and pour money into a building that's pretty decent already just because we got to attract this or that and think, well, this is what they say brings in. And this is where Pastor Jim was. These churches are jumping through all these hoops. The specialists are telling us, well, you got to do this and you got to have this color on the walls and you got to do this and that. I rebel against that to the point that sometimes my wife gets mad and says, Ken, you got to take care of the building. I get it. And so there's nothing new under the sun. King Solomon says that over and over again in Ecclesiastes. And I think for us in the church today, it means this, that we just need to stop trying to invent new ways to bring people before God and just go with what is tried and true. What is that? Speak the word of God, right? Speak the word of God. It will never return void, and allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. But that comes from gathering as a people who have already prayed and asked God to have his way on that Sunday morning. You see where I'm going. You have heard me say in previous messages throughout the ministry years, you have heard me say that our job is not to make people jump through the spiritual hoops. Some churches, well, okay, you want to be a part of us? You got to jump through this hoop. Okay, well, yeah, well, Jesus, you got to jump through this hoop. And we're like trained puppy dogs, right? We're training people coming in and whew, jump through that hoop. Okay, give me a kibble and bit or give me a bacon or whatever it is. And no. Jesus said, don't make it hard for people. It's not hard. I did the work, he said. It's already done. It's accomplished. All you need to do is preach the gospel. And as you preach the gospel, expect that the Holy Spirit will move and lives will be changed. Do you know when cars will start to pull into this driveway and begin to attend here? When they see us at our workplaces living a life that's changed. When they see us in our homes and our yards and hear us in our yards, when they hear that our language has been changed, when they see that things that we do in our yards have been changed, when they sense a change in the attitude of our yards and of our family. You know, your dog can have a bad attitude if you have a bad attitude. I didn't believe that. I have a pit bull. I was always afraid of my pit bull when other dogs would come around. You know, she fed off of that all these years. I did not know that. I'm holding her. I'm belly, back, and I'm pulling her back, and I'm pulling her back. And then she's like, she wants to devour the dog, right? And then I watch that goofy guy on TV, I don't know what his name is, the dog whisperer. And he says something that is so simple, I'm like, that could never work. And he says, no, they're feeding their aggression from you. He said, just let the dog go. And I'm like, oh wow, yeah, that's gonna work. Now what if my dog devours another dog? You know, every dog that has come in our yard since I've let her off the leash is like, can we play? And that's all they do. And I'm like, holy cow, that dog was feeding off of me. I'm getting somewhere with this. Again, I'm off my notes. But I really am. This is why I try to stick to. Oh, it's the hoops. It's the things we try to get people. They feed off of that. And so, you know, your dog and cat can be nasty and affect the neighborhood, right? Man, those people have a lousy dog. You know why they got a lousy dog? Because they're probably lousy people. And the dog is just being what they are. And so we need to change our whole lifestyle. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to minister to us. And so when you work, if you say you're a Christian, be a Christian. Be Holy Spirit filled. Let your language be changed. Let your attitude be changed. Yeah, we all have bad days. That's going to happen. That's just a product of living as a human being. But even in the bad days, there can be a difference about us. When you're living life in your yard, what do your neighbors see? Do they see the same thing that they see in everybody else, or is there a difference? When you gather with your friends, what do your neighbors see? Do they see, you know, is there a difference? You see what I'm trying to say? As a side note, is anybody else tired of paying the UFC $70 and then seeing the first fight go down in like a minute? I mean, this is ridiculous. That was 5 minutes last night, but still it wasn't worth it. I know he broke his ankle, but come on, let me get back to the word. But we had friends, I brought that up because we had friends over and family over, and you know what? It was a whole different setting than what I guess some homes were. You know what I'm saying? And praise God for that. I'm not sure me and Tony hollering at each other about who we wanted to win was going to win somebody to Jesus, but that's okay. And so here's the deal. We change our buildings. We change everything that we do in them. Always trying to revolutionize the church, what she should look like and how she should work. But Christ set down that model so long ago. And I want you to know what we see in Acts is still the viable, powerful, ministry-filled church that's going to have an effect. The New Testament church. Jesus set that model down. It is still good for today. It is still affected today. And I feel that we just need to follow the word and the church is going to be okay. And she's going to be better than okay. She's going to be powerful and she's going to be effective and she's going to be what God intended her to be. I feel that we need to do in church is just come back to James 4:8. Cleanse our hands, turn to Christ, allow him to direct us, keep our hands clean of all the other things that we so easily get mixed up in, and then purify our hearts. What does that mean? Allow him to work again in the heart of the church. Jesus, purify the heart of this church. Work in this church. Have your way in this church. You be the pastor of this church. Allow him to change the heart of the church back to what he designed it to be. Allow him to bring life back to the church, life back to our church. And my second thought in reading this week was this: let God build the church. The title of the message, The Church That God Built. Let God build the church. You know the scripture, Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Do you know what we need in the church today? We do not need a bigger building. We don't need to paint the building or change the stage. We don't need to hire a larger band or a choir. We don't need a better pastor. Well, maybe you think we do. I hope not. Or someone who speaks more eloquently. Now, if the building needs work, then let's work on it. Let's take care of it. This is a blessing that God has given to us to reach out to our community. Let's make sure we take care of it, right? So if the building needs work, we do it. If the band or choir needs to be tuned up, then tune it up. If the pastor can continue to tune his talents, if he can take classes, if he can continue to be, or she can continue to be, a constant learner in life, that's what I've chosen to be, then praise God. That's only going to add to the ministry. Make it happen. Find a way, church. Your church, find a way to make it happen. Give the pastor a little add to something that he can take classes and go to college and do what he needs to do. But what we need is this. We need a building that is full of the presence of God's Holy Spirit. When the people gather, that's what we need. We need a band and a choir who are sold out for Jesus Christ. We don't need the backbiting in our worship band. We don't need the competition on the stage. We don't need the prima donna or the attitudes in the worship group. We need people who love and sing for Jesus and give it their all simply because they want to worship Jesus. We need people that'll raise their hands if they're not playing the drums, right? We need people who will raise their hands, people that don't care who's watching them. They'll fall to their knees if they need to. You know, I love that our worship group is getting together for a night of worship and praise for themselves. That instead of leading you, and you're welcome to join them, but they're not going to lead you. They're getting together to say, you know what? We do this all the time for the church. We need to do it for ourselves. I love that our worship group, we have two teams now. Pray for them. We still need our teams to grow. It's been a prayer of Kim and I's for 5 years. It's finally come to fruition. But we need, what I'm excited about is that this group, even though they're not on a certain week, they still come for devotions. That's a powerful thing to me, that they're still like-minded and they still want to be together. That's a powerful thing. What's that saying? It's saying we're one. We may be two teams. We may be separated because of the growth of the team, but we're still one. We still belong. And this is still our ministry. Nobody's better than anybody else. And I love that that's happening. I think it speaks volumes to where our worship team is headed. They raise their hands. They exhibit true worship, not only in the service, but in their daily lives. They don't play and sing to be heard. If you do, sit down. But they play and sing to praise Jesus. And you know what else we need? We need pastors and spiritual leaders who are in the presence of God on a daily basis, not on a weekly basis, not on a monthly basis. We need pastors, men and women of God, who bring a fresh word inspired by the Holy Spirit in their lives. We need pastors who are living what they preach. Amen? We need pastors who believe what they preach, for Pete's sake. We need pastors with hearts that are set on fire. Because of the heart that is set on fire, the word that they preach will be set on fire as well. And that is the fire of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, I would request and honor, and honors might not be the right word, but ask for your prayers for me to be that man. Pastor whose heart is on fire. A pastor who's living what they preach. A pastor who prays and is in the presence of God on a daily basis. A pastor who believes what they preach. Please pray for your pastor. Pray for us in leadership here. That would continue to take place. We need God to build the church. Church? Because if the abundant living church is not the church that God builds, then we are in trouble. Amen? And everything that we're doing, no matter how great, our Easter egg hunt is growing every year. Man, that's fantastic. Our cornhole tournament is going to grow from where we did it this year. That's fantastic. Man, this Apple Festival, who knows the possibility of what that can be? That's fantastic. But no matter what we do, no matter how great it is, it will be worthless and done in vain if it's not something that God is leading us and wanting us and we're allowing Him to move in and do. I'm just telling you the truth. No matter how many are involved, no matter how much money we spend on it, no matter how into it our hearts are, it's done in vain unless the Lord build the house. They who build it in vain. So what do we need? Three things real quickly. I'm not going to take a lot of your time. I'm going to finish up. My timer's telling me I should be done now. So give me some grace. And that's our first point. We need a fresh grace. We need to get back to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. I'm not even going to read it. It's there. But basically what it says is this. You were sinful. You were broken. You were in sin. This about you. But because of Jesus. And there's a couple things I just want to look at in those verses. So David, yeah, I don't know if you can follow me. I'm not even sure what verse I'm in. I'm just going to read them real quick. Let me see if I can find them. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive with Christ. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His life, in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The church that God built emphasizes grace. We were just talking about it, Pastor Rick and I, today. We were all broken, but God loved us. And in His grace towards us, He saved us. What does that mean? Paul gives it to us here. He made us alive with Christ. He raised us up from our sin and spiritual death and seats us in places of authority in Christ. He showed us kindness in Christ. He created us for good works in Christ. Two important words that we seem to miss so many times when it comes to doing and being the church. Two words that we miss, with and in. There are too many people sitting in pews today feeling like they are foreigners to what's happening in the church, feeling like they are foreigners to the power and the love of Christ. There are many more not sitting in pews because they just won't come to church, and they won't go to church because they're feeling the same way. And grace solves it all. Grace takes care of it all. Grace says you don't have to because Christ already did. Amen? With and in, we are, we have, we do, with and in Christ. Any other way of living, any other way of doing, any other way of being is in vain. It can't happen because it will fail because it's in us, it's according to us, and not the things of God. And so we need a fresh understanding of God's grace in our church today. When we get it, it will set you free. It will stop the competition. It will stop the backbiting. It will stop the striving to be something and someone. Listen to me. None of us will ever be unless we are in Christ. Amen? Amen? Secondly, we need a spiritual revival. I do not have the time to speak about spiritual revival today, and I have a sense that this is something we're going to be touching on all summer long as we read this book. So let me say it like this, and I'm sure we'll talk about it through the rest of the summer. We need a refreshing of God's Holy Spirit in the church. Some of us need it for the first time. Some of us need it for the zillionth time, but we need it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the source of the power of the church to do what we are called to do in the day that we are living in. The church cannot do it outside of the Holy Spirit. We cannot be effective. Ephesians 5:18, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. In OSL level 2, you will learn this. Some of you have already learned this. The Greek word there for be filled is in the imperative present tense. I don't understand Greek, but it's male and female. It's time. Greek is such a powerful language. And so that Greek word there for be filled means it's in the now, in the imperative, and in the constantly happening. And so in other words, be filled has a connotation of continuous and ongoing replenishment. Pastor Jerry Dierman says it like this in the teaching. He says it's like you're sitting at McDonald's and your cup gets empty. You have the ability, maybe with COVID you haven't, but you have the ability to go up and fill that cup up at any time. All you need to do is get out of your seat, take your cup to the machine, and refill it. You have the capability of refilling that cup as many times as you want. You've got to get up and do it. And so this be filled with the Holy Spirit, what it's telling the church is just don't let it happen once. Don't let it happen once in your life, but you have the ability to let it happen all the time. But you need to get up and go to the source and refill the cup. Amen? That's the way the church should be. Amen? That's the church that's exciting. That's the church where people want to hang out. That's the church where things are happening. We need that in our church today. We need that in our church today, not just the church. We need that in our church today. We will never truly be effective without it. Quickly, a spiritual renewal will change each of us. A spiritual renewal will change our church. A spiritual renewal will change what we do and why we do it. And listen, a spiritual renewal will change how we do it. For the word says, not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord. A spiritual renewal will change the result of what we do. This week, I was told by two brothers who have the right to tell me these things. Any of you have the right to tell me these things. They did not say it in a negative way. They were more or less lining themselves up with me and saying they understand what I go through. But here's what they both told me. Pastor, I don't know how you do it. You must be discouraged. And I would be lying to you if I said that every once in a while, a little discouraging point doesn't try to get into my heart and sneak in. And I'd be lying to you if I said that sometimes I don't succumb to it. But, and ask my wife if you don't believe this, I am not discouraged. I believe that our church is headed in a great direction, as small as she is. I believe that our church is headed in a great direction. I believe that we are being led by Christ and that He is the one who is truly building what we have. If this is Pastor Ken's church, man, we are in trouble. Let's get up and lock this place up today and never open it up again. Okay? Because everything we do will be in vain. But if this is Christ Church, then listen to me, Abundant Living, and those visiting with us today. If this is Christ Church, then we are going to get somewhere. And we are going to accomplish great things. And we are going to see great results in people's lives. Some of that is already happening. Well, Pastor, why haven't those things happened on a bigger scale? I cannot say. I truly believe that we are seeing things happen. I truly believe that we're moving right. But I know this, it's not going to hinder me. It's not going to discourage me. I have set my mind to the fact that I am going to continue in prayer and hear from God. Amen. I am going to continue to speak what the Lord lays on my heart, not just what is popular with everyone else. I am going to continue to give Him more space in my life, more space in my ministry, and I am going to continue to trust Him more. And you know what? Each of you need to do the same. Do you hear what I'm saying? And that comes to my third point today, and I end. We need fellowship with God. Time is short, so I'll let you work on this point this week. What is fellowship with God? It's spending time with Him. It's hearing Him. It is not just prayer, because for the average Christian, prayer is just you talking to God. But prayer should truly be back and forth. When I get together with Kat, we have some wonderful conversations. When I get together with Pablo, when I talk with Chris across the fence, we have some wonderful conversations. Why? Because we're sharing. It's not just me telling Kat something. Kat's telling me something. Pablo gets to share in my life. Chris gets to share in my life, and vice versa. And it's a powerful thing. That's what we need in the church. We need communion with God. We need fellowship with God. Not just prayer, God, give me this. God, do this. God, heal this. God, make this. He loves those prayers, but He wants the prayer that says, God, speak to my life today. God, challenge me today. God, change me today. God, let me hear Your voice for today, because I don't know where I'm headed. This whole world just blew up around me. God, I need You. God, do something. That's fellowship with God. Spending time with Him. Communion with Him. Conversation back and forth with Him. Allowing God to work in our lives, in our hearts, and in our situations, because we are now turning them all over to Him. Will you do that this week? I don't have the time to go into this point. We're late. Will you do that this week? Will you find time with God? Will you pray for your pastor and ask Him to hate these things that I said I want prayer in my life for these things? Will you pray for our church and believe that God's going to pour out His Spirit in a new and refreshing way? And so I go back to James 4:8 in closing. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Can I pray for you? Amen.